And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Life is Like a Movie, Sometimes. My first guest really is America's answer to the King's Speech. The Sunday Times of London considers him the master of charisma, and we discuss speeches that shook the world and his keys to delivering a great speech. My next guest is one of the founding members of the 1960s singing group, The Tokens. He turned his attention away from music and has written a new novel. We're going to discuss his latest book, Null Quotient. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Phil Margo was born in 1942 in Brooklyn, and along with his brother Mitch, founded the group The Tokens. They're best known for their hit recording of The Lion Sleeps Tonight, which rose to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 and remained there for 3 weeks way back in 1961. The Tokens are still recording and performing. In addition to his singing, Margo also played the drums. With The Tokens, Phil was a successful record producer. He has 11 gold records to his credits, and he produced for artists like The Chiffons, The Happenings, and Tony Orlando and Dawn. Phil lives in Beverly Hills, California with his wife. They've been married more than 43 years. They're proud parents of 3 children and 7 grandchildren. Phil, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm terrific. Actually, I have 8 grandchildren. We got a new one in November.
Well, congratulations to you. That's great.
Do it, though. And you capsulized it pretty good. It was like, this is your life whipping by me. All those years from 1960, zip. There
well,
it is, you know?
Just call me the Ralph Edwards of Ventura County. That's what I do.
I tell you. No, it's marvelous. And it's been, you know, it's a wonderful life. I had a ball all the way through.
No doubt about it. You've done so many wonderful things. I mean, that's the thing, Phil.
And I'm really so unspectacular, you wouldn't believe it. You know what I mean? As a kid, there was like nothing about me that was anything. You know what I mean? In high school is when my junior year in high school, when I was forced to try out for the boys' chorus, I learned I had some musical talent. That's how that happened. It was a teacher that pointed the way for me. You know, teachers are very important.
Isn't that interesting how teachers can guide us in our careers, even when we don't know what it is that we want? I find that fascinating. Now, you've had a very successful career as a songwriter and as a performer. Why did you decide to branch out and become a literary artist as well, Phil?
Well, it wasn't just one jump. It was a couple. Everything in my life was a little bounce, nothing big, just little steps. That's how it all works out. When I came out to California because it was too cold in New York,
yeah,
I wound up managing Robert Guillaume, who was Benson and Soap.
Sure.
And because of that, I was sitting in rooms with network executives, and I would have these ideas for TV shows, and I would talk to them about it. And because I had the ear and I didn't have to go in through the bottom, you know how that is. When you go in through the bottom, you get nowhere.
Right.
You have to go in on a higher level. They said, oh, yeah, I like that idea, and they would hire somebody to write it, and it would not go further. It would die on the vine. So I finally said, look, let me take a shot at it. And they said, you're not a writer. I said, well, I wasn't a singer either, you know? And I wasn't a manager, but I'm doing all right. You know. So they let me, and the movie got made, and then I wound up writing a lot of, you know, sitcoms and movies for television and so on and so forth. So now, when I hit the age of 65, 66, obviously the television industry doesn't like older folks doing anything. They think that they don't know how to write anymore because they hit a certain age. You know, you become unhip, you don't know, which is not true, but, you know, go fight it. So I had this idea, and the way I am is I follow through. And I had this idea, what would happen if this planet was older than we thought it was, 40 billion years old instead of 4.5, and that there were 28 previous configurations of intelligent life that went from the slime to their destruction, either from outside forces or by their own hand. And I started writing this thing, and I was going to write it as a screenplay, and then I said, I have no one to bring it to. So I decided to write it as a book, which came to be The Null Quotient. I got a publisher. I had an editor. He helped guide me through the vagaries and exigencies of writing a book as opposed to a screenplay, which is a big difference. And there you go. And all of a sudden, I have a book out on the market, which is getting wonderful reaction from a lot of quarters. Stan Lee, of all people,
of Marvel,
I sent it to him, and he's like, you know, he's an icon, and you know, he created Spider-Man and Iron Man and all the, those other wonderful characters. He said it's going to be a bestseller, and he can't wait to see the movie.
Wow,
you know,
we're talking to Phil. We're talking to Phil Margo, everybody, author of the book, Null Quotient. And Phil, just in that answer alone, you gave us a wealth of information. It was like drinking from a fire hose. I want to go back and recover some of the ground.
I'm sorry to give you too much.
No. I just want to cover some of the recover some of the ground that you just so blithely covered. And that is, you started out and you made a pitch to executives to write some sitcoms. Now, writing sitcoms is, in and of itself, its own art form. Do you? What are some of the names of the sitcoms that you wrote? Would we know any of them?
Different Strokes.
Oh yeah, slightly well-known show.
The Boss.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I wrote four. I did one with Alan Alda when he did Four Seasons as a half-hour show. I had the pleasure of working with Alan Alda, who was a genius and who really helped me learn how to be a writer. He's just marvelous, and I enjoyed working with him and my partner Don Siegel, and we wrote movies for television for Gary Coleman, and we did a movie called This Wife for Hire with Pam Dorber and Robert Klein. And we also did The Last Love Boat with the original crew.
Did you? All right.
Yeah.
Well, that is cool. Alan Alda, today it's his birthday. He's 75 years old today.
Bless
so him. Big shout-out to Alan Alda.
Well, but, yes, I a shout-out to him because of how marvelous he was to me and how great he treated me while we were working together.
Well, something else in that answer, Phil, kind of nonplussed me, though. You said that executives started to turn you down now that you hit the magic age of 65 because you're no longer hip and what you're writing isn't relevant. I want to challenge that a little bit because as the baby boom generation gets older, just as you are getting older, we're going to want more sophisticated, more comedies, more dramas that are targeted towards our age group. I mean, the young people be damned. It's us that's going to matter. We're the largest, most successful generation in the history of the world. It seems to me that you'd have a wonderful opportunity writing baby boom style stuff for television and movies.
That's where logic falls apart. You're absolutely right, by the way. It's an argument I've used, but they don't care. They feel, this is what they feel. The theory behind it is that advertisers don't want to deal with older folks because they can't, their minds can't be changed and they're set in their ways. This is I call these things pukeisms, things that are absolutely untrue, but people believe them. And the executives and all those people believe that, and the advertisers, yet the advertisers use all of that music that we made in their commercials. So you got to scratch your head. So we just live in a world that is fraught with illogic all around us, and you just have to swim through it, you know? And that's what I do, and I swim my way around it. And instead of having to fight the television brain, which, look, I went to an executive once to pitch a show, and she pointed, and I asked her, what are you looking for? And she pointed to a poster on the wall of a movie they did about a teenager during the Holocaust, right? And she said, and I said, oh, you mean like Diary of Anne Frank? And she looked at me and said, what?
Oh, my.
So that's what you're dealing with. And I mean, you know, that's what it is. And I'm not bitter about it. When I meet up with when I hit a wall, I go around it. You know, so I have this thing. And now people are interested in it as a movie because it's a book. You know?
Well, that is always the connection.
Way.
Yeah, that is always the way. We're talking to Philip Margo, everybody, author of the book, Null Quotient, also one of the founding members of the band, The Tokens, talking about his esteemed career and showing the tenacity that he has to move around problems and get on to the next phase of his life. I think that is phenomenal. But, Philip, I got to ask you about the whole premise of the book. I mean, okay, so the premise of Null Quotient is that the Earth is older than we all believe that it is. Okay, I can buy that. That there have been 27 other civilizations that have been born and died before we've come. Oh, sorry, 28?
28.
28
yes.
That have been born and died before we came along, and we're now the 29th in that series of things.
Yes.
How did you come up with that idea? What in the world sat you down and made you decide to write that?
I try to think of. The original thought was an archaeologist finds in a quarry glacier where it shouldn't be. Finds a craft that looks like it was built for flight and dates back a billion years. Okay? That was my initial thought, which led to everything else. And my characters, I have, there are two the three main characters, two of them are women.
Right.
Which is kind of unique in science fiction. You don't find that a whole lot, where women are the main characters. The man is actually the weakest character who gets brought along by the women.
Well, would you call him weak, though? I'm going to challenge you there. It's not that he's weak, he's alcoholic.
No, the man, the character in my book is an alcoholic archaeologist.
Right.
And he needs help. Once he's brought along, once he finds himself through these two other people, he becomes a man.
Okay. All right.
I'm not saying man is weak. I'm saying this particular character is weak. I'm not going to damn my own sex.
No. I wasn't going there, Phil. I thought my point that I was trying to make is he starts out as an alcoholic, and through the process of overcoming alcoholism, he becomes stronger. So
yeah,
I see what you're saying.
He becomes stronger, he becomes better, and the girl, one of the female characters, starts off as a complete, one weave short of a basket case. You know, she comes from parents who really didn't pay that much attention to her. She was an underachiever. She was overweight. All of the things that make a woman kind of a difficult path. And because of the archaeologist earlier on, she finds the right path, and then she rescues him later on. You know what I mean? It's kind of fun. And you know, there's a nice love story, too, as well as really some really interesting science fiction. Really interesting things that I've never seen before. You know, and every chapter is named for a famous science fiction work in salute of all of these great writers and, you know, Gene Roddenberry,
Ray Bradbury.
Heinlein, Ray Bradbury, all of them. Every chapter, Star Trek is the name of one chapter. Stranger in a Strange Land is the name of one chapter. Even Outer Limits, you know, because it relates to the chapter. It's not just dressing. Every name, I had to go through all the science fiction works of all times to find the right one for each chapter to help say what I'm going to say, you know.
So, all right. We're talking to Phil Margo, everybody, author of the book Null Quotient, also one of the founding members of the Tokens. And Phil, reading Null Quotient, one of the things that struck me, a very disturbing part of the book, is that there's a group called the Custodians. And the way you write the book, this is really a police state that you have created. So I want to ask you about that. How'd you come up with the idea of creating a police state? Is there any social commentary built into that?
They're not a police state. It wasn't a police state. The Custodians were born out of galactic violence and fury, and they travel on starlight throughout the universe looking for intelligent life. When an intelligent civilization reaches its doom point, as all of them have up until we're on the tipping point, as all of them have, when the doom happens, they null, that's where the title comes from, the null quotient. They null out the planet back to stardust so life can begin anew from the slime. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not
right.
Just, it's not, in other words, it's not an offshoot of us. It's an entirely new kind of intelligent life. Humanoid, biped, because all of the things that developed us are still here. You know? Water and everything else. So the life is affected by the same.
So get rid of the people, get rid of the problem is what you're saying.
Yeah, and so the Custodians are really like a they're not a police force. They come after and they're garbage men. You know, they kind of clean up the mess and set it straight again. For another, you know, it's like resetting the table.
All right.
You know?
Well,
new silverware and new dishes.
That's a better way of looking at it. We're talking to Phil Margo, who's the author of Null Quotient. Phil, I've got to ask you, because I ask this of a lot of authors. What did you get out of writing Null Quotient?
I loved it. I had the greatest time. I got to tell you, I would wake up at 7 every morning, have breakfast, and from 8 to noon, I wrote 4 hours straight. I didn't have one day where I faced a blank page and didn't know what to write. I couldn't wait to get to my characters because I had such fun with them. In fact, I would have liked to date one of them. And they're just, I mean, I had so much fun with those characters, and I would go to the club and play tennis and then sit in the jacuzzi, and I would get ideas there for what I'm going to do after lunch, and then I'd write until the evening.
Oh, that's
incredible.
And
I loved it. It was just, you know, people talk about doing things that are hard, okay? And they, you know, when you look at something at a task like a book, you don't look at the 400 pages that you have to write. You look at the one page that's in front of you. You know, General Schwarzkopf told me once, Norman Schwarzkopf said, he said to me, well, how do you eat an elephant? And I said, I don't know. He said, one bite at a time. The best advice I ever got. Because whatever's big, whatever looks so overwhelming, you just do a little bit at a time. You nick away at it until you get it done. And after a year and change, I got it done.
There you go. Life and Business Philosophy from Phil Margo, author of the book No Quotient, also one of the founding members of the Tokens. Now, if people are listening to the sound of our voice, Phil, they like what they hear, they want to learn more about you or learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
You're marvelous. Yes. TheTokens.com is the Tokens. And we're going to be, by the way, we're performing up in Simi Valley on April 17th.
Oh,
not
cool.
Far from you guys. We're doing it for the Simi Valley School District at the new art center that they just built. So, you know, folks can check on that. And also the Philip F. Margo fan page on Facebook has all of the reviews, you know, the review by Stan Lee and some other really wonderful reviews and all the information about the book. And they can get the book on Barnes & Noble online or on Amazon.com. And you know, and I also have a blog called Beverly Hills Mudge, which they might get a kick out of too. I just started that as well. So I'm a busy guy for an old guy.
You are. You are keeping constantly busy, Phil Margo. It's been a pleasure talking with you. We look forward to talking to you down the road. Take care.
I would be my pleasure. Thank you so much for your hospitality and grace.